Okay, so we're part two at Culver City Starbucks, sitting outside in the ash. And again, still thinking about, especially thinking about Pepperdine since you graduated from Pepperdine. So we have Dr. Kimai Wilson.
What's up, everybody?
There we go. And we are doing a part two with Dr. Wilson because I want to talk to him more about your math, your science, your community concerns, and most importantly, the book that you're writing. So let's jump into math and what your feelings are in regards to the community and how you're working to change that. We heard a little bit about it in the first part, part one. I'd like to jump into this in part two and tell me some more details.
Oh, so I'm doing a great initiative with LAUSD Local West. Mm-hmm. Where we're actually, I'm working with their Mathematics Achievement Council. And I love the work we're doing because it's the superintendent, the assistant superintendent of instruction, and, you know, an amazing principal that has done some amazing work at a particular school site, and some math coaches. And we're really just creating this brain trust where we're really thinking strategically on how to improve math teaching and learning so that it leads to increased achievement for our black and brown kids.
Right.
And so I'm excited about that initiative because
I'm excited about it.
I actually am providing, you know, targeted instructional support mm-hmm. to certain schools. And so I just feel like now I'm stepping into my purpose and really, you know, because I walk this fine line of, you know, I love academia, but how does that now translate into real people, real folks in the everyday hustle and bustle that kids are dealing with in these school spaces that can be sometimes very traumatizing.
Right.
And so I want to not only prepare teachers for the future, but prepare teachers right now. Because oftentimes the disconnect happens is we prepare teachers at universities, they graduate, they leave us, then they go into these schools, and where's the support? Where's the sustaining support to really help them deal with real issues? Because the biggest thing when I taught in Compton, you have to understand.
I'm nodding my head.
You have to understand these kids may be dealing and experiencing stuff that you never had to deal with as an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, Anne-Marie, I didn't know what it was like mm-hmm. to walk home. You're talking to a brother that was driven to school from the time he was in preschool all the way up to he was in 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so me now having kindergarten and first grade and second grade students, you know, walking to school by themselves and getting home and no one's there, that's a whole different world that most teacher education mm-hmm. programs are not preparing our teachers to face. Yeah. So you gotta, again, I'm using this word disrupt, mm-hmm. you gotta disrupt what you think is everybody else's experience.
Right. And also the stereotype, there's not a stereotype, because I know some people are going to jump right into stereotype. It's not about like the parents aren't engaged, the parents are working, and they have to work two or three jobs.
Yeah.
And they can't afford a nanny, they can't afford even like daycare because it's not practical, it's not made for this type of community.
Yeah.
So,
And parental involvement, and I tell my university students all the time, I say, parental involvement looks very different.
Yes.
Right? My mom could be room mother. She had a job where she could do that.
Yes.
You know what parental involvement looked like for the people, the kids that I worked, the schools that I worked in? Their parents working two, three jobs so that there's food on the table.
Yes.
That's parental involvement. So that they have a place to stay. Yeah. That's parental involvement. So that they have a warm bed to sleep in. That's parental involvement. So now me as a teacher had to, now this is, again, you talk about this community piece. Now I had to engage the community and say, hey parents, when's the best time for you to come and meet with me? When's the best time for you to come and talk to me? Do I need to open up the school on a Saturday so we can have a family math day? You tell me what it is and how I can best help you. Mm-hmm. But we don't do that.
Yes.
We're gonna let this go by.
We're gonna let the siren go by again. They have been busy today.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Unfortunate, yes. But let me stop you real quick. So you brought up trauma.
Yeah. Oh. Man,
so
yeah.
You know, when you brought that up, it stuck in my head, and I wanted to circle back to this because, first of all, getting an education sometimes can be traumatic. Being put into a certain environment can be traumatic.
Yeah.
Learning something you're not familiar with can be traumatic. Not saying that we have to coddle and handhold people, but also, like you brought it up, there's an environment that these young people experience that some of us have never heard of and never experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's violence. There is lack of education. There's lack of social support. Not mm-hmm. in everything, but sometimes
mm-hmm.
in certain families. And there's anger. There's violence. There's survivalship. I don't know if it's a word. I'm going to create that word right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just for me this week was someone that I am teaching. I got an email and said he lost his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend. That was something else that happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend was
wow.
shot.
Wow.
Not the Thousand Oaks TO shooting,
yeah.
but like in East Los and yeah. happening. And it's like, and I, as a coach, more than a teacher, was like, how do I coach this kid through this?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I step back and rethink it? And I'm like, so I'm sharing this on a micro level,
right.
microscopic level, because
right.
it's just one adult person I'm coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that trauma that just popped up into my world now that mm-hmm. I was around growing up. So going back to my point, because I'm meandering, is that trauma comes with some of the students. And I
yeah.
hear you saying that you know that, and let's get them
mm-hmm.
take over.
Yeah. So the reality of it is that this is why I say it becomes very critical for teachers to know who you're teaching. I knew all my kids' parents. I created a relationship with them. So I was invited to quinceañeras. I was invited
right
to
on.
I was invited to birthday parties. I was invited to baptisms, you know, baptismal services. I was invited to all of these different things because I engaged my kids in their families and the communities that they lived mm-hmm. in. You can't usher anyone into a new future, a new way of doing things, a new way of learning until you connect with the very things that mean the most to them.
Yes, sir.
And so when I say traumatic experiences, I'm walking into situations where my kids are living in poverty.
Yes.
I'm walking into situations where my kids are seeing violence on a daily basis.
Yes.
I'm walking into communities where folks have been failed generationally in learning. And let's not even talk about math and science, because now it becomes the language of, you know, and it was even said to me, do the best you can, because I was failed in math. I don't expect much, because hell, I didn't get taught math and science really well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of black and brown parents who are like, just do the bare minimum, just get by, because they were failed. And they know they were failed by teachers and a school system. So now they're communicating to their kids, we already know it's hard. They're not verbalizing that I was screwed in my teaching and learning.
Yeah. Well, you don't know.
Because they don't know
yeah.
or how to even give voice to that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, do the bare minimum, right? And I'm okay. You're okay. You'll be okay. Because I know I was failed. So there's a lot of, you know, intergenerational trauma with math and science, which we do not talk about.
Intergenerational trauma.
We do not talk about. So if grandma has been failed in math and science and grandpa has been failed in math and science, think about the language. Yes, they can push and say, I want you to be better than me.
Mm-hmm.
But where are the mechanisms to know how to even do that?
There you go.
And how to even begin that. So our kids are dealing with, particularly black and brown folk and all kids that are growing up in poverty,
mm-hmm.
right? It's this trauma that teachers don't recognize. Well, why aren't they doing my homework? Well, because when they get home, there's no one there to really help them.
Right. Right.
And so now you've got to rethink how in your classroom space are you creating a safe space for your kids to talk to you and let you know what's going on in their world.
Right.
And making the connections. So many. And I was having this conversation with a brilliant colleague of mine, Dr. Zeno, who's just amazing. And we were having this very conversation, and she says, Kimai, I want people to get to a place where they understand this mental health and this trauma is a real thing, and it impedes the way kids are learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job now as a professor in the teacher education program is to really think about, how am I engaging my students to be aspiring teachers how to put kids first. Mm-hmm. And when you put kids first, you're putting their communities, any trauma, you're putting all of that first. Because if you don't deal with that, it's bleeding into their learning and nothing's ever going to get accomplished.
So that does this conversation lead into your book?
Ooh, yeah, it does. You know, I'm working on a book, and you know, I've got to deliver that manuscript to them next year.
Okay.
And so, you know, once it's drops, or as I get close to everything,
it drops like it's a CD.
Right. Like it's a mixtape. Like it's a mixtape. Yeah. Once it's uploaded to SoundCloud. No, I'm just kidding. You know, once we get near the date, because I'm definitely going to have you involved in the process.
Oh, well, thank you.
But
because
I'm really grappling with these very ideas.
Okay.
And writing it, it's pushing me, because first of all, there's so many amazing writers out here that I'm just learning and soaking up. So my table, my dining room table has about 30 books on it right now.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I'm just soaking up a lot of and getting inspiration from a lot of different places, mm-hmm. a lot of different people. And so my book now, it's based on this work that I did looking at math and science identities in an impoverished community, particularly focusing on Black males.
Okay.
And most folks want to say, oh, why did you just focus on Black males? Again, when you're doing research, you kind of want to be laser focused and not put too many people in a pot, because I always feel you start putting too many people in a pot, somebody gets lost in the sauce.
Right.
And so I really strategically wanted to focus on Black boys. And so that's what that work is. And so I'm looking at how they experience math and science longitudinally from the time they entered school to their present state. So that work is really, that's what that book is really, the book is based on. But probably as any writer will tell you, I'm going through so many metamorphoses while I'm writing this project.
Yeah.
And so it's taking a turn that I didn't know it's taking a turn in. And so even me explaining, and it's really housed in this educational ethnography.
Okay.
Because I do a lot of ethnographic work. I really like to, my research is really real folk, real communities, real world stuff, real time. Like,
you really want it to be purposeful.
Yeah, and so that work excites me. So it's in a book series within educational ethnography, and I have to shout out Dr. Rodney Hopkins, he's the one that I met him at an anthropological conference, and he said, go for it. And I went for it, and he's the editor, and so, you know, it got greenlit from, so again, African-American brother. And again, like, I love the fact that he's a senior scholar brother pushing me to do this work. It means the world to me. So I will always be indebted to him for presenting the opportunity to me. And so, yeah, this work is now really having me think about who I am. And
okay.
Who I am.
Wait, it is or it is not?
It is.
It is, okay.
It is helping me discover who I am.
Okay.
The people that have made me who I am, and how that influences how I engage the world and engage this project.
It feels, you know, it feels very Ubuntu. I am, because we are. I'm really getting that from you. Like, you're even saying that people are like, help made you. And I really appreciate how passionate you are. I mean, if you could see Dr. Wilson right now, you would understand. He's very passionate. You're just glowing right now about all this work. So I had to just
Thank
say
you.
That.
Oh, wow.
Because,
Thank you. That means a lot. That means a lot.
So I don't mean to just detract. So let's get back to you. But I just had to say how wonderful it is to be sitting here listening to you. It makes me want to like become a math genius, and hanging out with you, I just might.
Do
so,
it.
And I celebrate the fact that you, the sense of community of being mentored by an elder to go forward with this. I mean, sometimes you just need that, and sometimes you just need that green light and that pat on the back saying it's okay, go for it.
Yeah.
As Dr. Parker has done for me.
Absolutely.
And she's my junior, so it just goes.
Dr. Parker has done that for me too. She's just amazing. She pushes you into greatness, which is her calling. You and I both know that.
So back to you. Yeah. So you get this great gentleman, your elder, to help you go forward with this. Mm-hmm. And how far into the book are you so far?
Oh, so...
And your publisher doesn't need to be listening. Isn't going to listen to this, so don't worry about it.
That's why I gave myself a huge leeway to write the book. And I'm glad I did, because I didn't know it was going to, you know...
Is this going to be a textbook, or not a textbook, a book, a tangible book, and an e-book?
Yeah,
or?
It's going to be in all formats.
Okay, excellent. You might be uploading it to SoundCloud. You might be reading your book.
Yeah. All formats. Yeah, I would love an audio book. Yeah.
Let's get James Earl Jones to do your...
Ooh, that would be so dope. And,
yeah, man, the deep voice. So everyone's going to be doing... Yeah. Okay, all right. Absolutely. Focus. Let me focus. No. Get back to you.
See, you're the idea machine. I love this. Now you got me thinking all kind of ways. So, again, it's going to take another metamorphosis to book. You know, I'm glad I gave myself a lot of leeway time to write this, because I think now I'm going on a journey about myself, a journey about self-reflection that I think informed the research and how I, you know, analyze the research, you know, in combination with theory and this whole. So it's unique because I'm trying to marry, and I don't know how good I'll be doing this, but I'm trying to marry the scholarship and this theory and with just the practicality of everyday learning. So it's trying to, you know, I don't want it to just be a book that, you know, my fellow colleagues read, but I want it to be a book that teachers read. I want it to be a book that parents read. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a book that's accessible to kids. So it's
that's going to be interesting writing.
That's challenging.
Yes, it is. I was just going to say.
It's very challenging. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how they peer review it's going to be interesting once I submit it. But I will say it's making me now go to places that I didn't know I was going to go to.
That's a beautiful thing about writing.
Which is scary, but exciting.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
You're fine.
And so I'm in deep meditation and deep prayer about it. But yeah, I can just tell you what the book is about, the premise of it, where it's going. We'll probably have another conversation about it.
There's probably not a ton of writers, probably two writers listening right now. Because I think we have three people who listen to this at a time.
Oh, wow.
That are probably, you know, every writer, what you're saying, every writer can feels and shares. Because, you know, you start one way. I mean, like for me, when I used to write creatively, you go this way, and then all of a sudden the character comes to life, and the character goes that way, and this way. And then, so your book is also, I mean, your book is like one big character. So, like, you're writing it, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's going this way. And you're opening up, so it's gonna be fine. I'll even read it.
I love it. You better.
I'll be one reading it on SoundCloud. Hello, this is Emery Williams reading Dr. Kimai Wilson.
Yes.
So, all right. So you got the community, you got the book. We have a couple more minutes. What else do you want to chat with me about?
Ooh. That's tough. You know, you gotta ask me because
So you have the book, you have the community. What other services are you looking to provide to our young folks in the next couple of years and months?
Oh, if I can be anywhere where I can inspire young people, I'm totally into that.
Okay.
So I love talking to young people. I love engaging young people about new ideas, how to be them, how they can be their best selves.
Right.
I think and strive for things that they don't even think are possible or attainable for them. And so I love, you know, going into communities and going into places and just telling people, you can do this. And here's how you can do this, right? Don't let anybody tell you can't do this because of your race, because of your class, because of your gender. Don't let anybody hold you because of your sexuality. Don't let anybody tell you what you cannot do. Here's what you can do, and I'm gonna show you the avenues of how you can do this and connect you with the people that can make this happen. I'm doing some, you mentioned it, it came to my mind, and you know, I'm doing some amazing work with this group of African American students at a high school, and we're restructuring their BSU. I'm really helping them.
Please tell us what a BSU is.
Black Student Union.
Okay.
And so I'm really helping them think about, who are they? Again, I can't seem to run away from this identity piece. But who are they?
Right.
And what do they want to communicate out to the rest of the school community that's extremely diverse,
right,
but they feel like their voices aren't heard? And so really working with them, and we just had a, I'm excited because I just created and helped them think through, we had a panel that was include, so we had their first panel, and it was,
I heard it was had, powerful.
It had, because, you know, I'll say it, they, unfortunately, they had an incident that involved police, and they didn't have an opportunity to communicate what was happening. There was a lot of media generalizations, you know, which often happens to Black folks and police, you know, this sort of police surveillance, this police violence, police harassment, right? And so they wanted to provide an opportunity, I wanted to provide for them an opportunity where they could just talk and think through how they're feeling, their ideas. And so I set up a panel where we had, you know, university professors, parents, students, community folks, all sponsored by the BSU, to really talk about teachers, faculty, administration, how are they feeling about how they're being treated as Black folks on this campus. Yeah. And it was so powerful. And I just met with them a week or so ago. And so from that panel, they talked about how they loved it. And now to even foster, because now I have them really thinking through their mission statement, because they have a mission statement by bylaws, but I said, what does this mean? And we're deconstructing the statement. And they said, you know, and part of their statement says, you know, there's a cohesive community among faculty, staff, students, administrators, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And I said, is this done? And they said, no. And I said, how can we do this? So we're having a networking mixer to bring everybody together. So it's about empowering young folks with new ideas to help them reach the plateaus that they want to reach.
Amen. And I get behind that, because that's what I'm all about. And I totally support you. And it's just giving them tools and communication and the sense of self, not to dominate, but to cooperate, mm-hmm. and to go forward, always forward.
Absolutely. So I'm excited about that.
We're going to end on this excitement right here. So I want to, you know, and I, you know, we're going to do a third part with Dr. Wilson, not today, but soon. But I want you to come back, and I want you to tell us more about the BSU. Ooh. And maybe we can pull in Dr. Parker, because isn't she part of that with you also?
Yeah, she actually, I pulled her in for the panel, and she was amazing.
Yeah. And per usual.
Yeah, amazing.
I expect nothing less.
Amazing. And she was, I just have to be very transparent. And she was just like, they loved her. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I can't bring you too much, because they'll replace you with me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's practical. That's a practical thing. Yeah. You got that tall intellectual fashionista. Yeah. So
absolutely.
It's like,
absolutely.
Oh my God. Again, Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for your passion, your compassion, your intellect, your heart, your soul, and every part of your mojo. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, Anne Marie. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks again, folks, and have a great time. And don't forget, keep listening to us and spread the word. Bye.